context, you'll realize that there were a lot of things going on at this time in the ministry of Jesus. But let's notice Mark chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 39. Mark 1:39, and it says this, "And he," that's Jesus, "preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him," notice his question, "if you will, you can make me clean." Now, there's a lot that we can learn from this encounter that Jesus had with this leper. And so far in our study on real people, real faith, we've seen several things. Number one, we saw that faith is a law. It is a principle that governs the way the kingdom of God operates. You find that in Romans 3:27. Number two, faith is the door or the portal or the entrance to everything that Jesus has paid for, that is, in his redemptive work. You find that in Acts 14:27. Where the apostles shared with the Jewish believers how that God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Now they can receive all of the provision of Christ's redemptive work. We saw, number three, that God always responds to faith. We saw that in the story in Mark chapter 10, verse 49. Remember blind Bartimaeus? Jesus went into Jericho on the way back out. Blind Bartimaeus finds out it's him, and he begins to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody told the brother, "Shut up." But he wouldn't. He persisted, kept crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be called. Faith always gets God's attention. Smith Wigglesworth said, "There's something about faith that'll make God pass over a million people just to get to you." Faith always gets his attention. Number four, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And we also saw, number five, that faith is released with words. We looked at two women a couple weeks ago. One of the women, when asked about what's going on with you, your husband, and your son, she said, "All is well." But her son was dead, laying on the bed of the prophet. But her faith was talking. The woman with the issue of blood was saying, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." She was releasing her faith with her words. And now we come to this story, this leper who comes to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And this is where much of the church is camped out today. Knowing that God has the ability and the power, but not knowing if it's his will. And this man was in a place where he knew Jesus could, he just didn't know if he would. He didn't know if it was the will of God. Notice what happened. He came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And the scripture says, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hands and touched him and said, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And Jesus charged him and straightway said to him, shh, don't say anything to anybody, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." But this guy began to publish the matter and immediately went out and began to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and people came to him from every quarter. Now, this man did the opposite of what Jesus told him to do. And I often struggled with that. Why in the world would Jesus tell a man, shh, don't say anybody? You know, most buddies that I have, I got a lot of minister buddies, you know. If they had a leper instantly healed in their ministry, they drag that poor guy around to the next meeting they preach for the next 5 years. Say, "Before I get up minister, I want you to hear Jim Bob's testimony. He was healed under my ministry." Well, Jesus was more concerned with that man than he was his reputation. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't care who knew it. In fact, he told him, "Don't tell anybody." Now, here's the thing I want you to see. Much of the church is right where this man was. And we often hear the statement from people, especially in Christian circles, oh, God is able, hallelujah. That's not going to help you. We all know God is able. Listen, faith begins when you know His will. Not when you know His ability, but when you know His will. So here's the next principle you need to remember. Faith begins when you know the will of God. Faith begins when you know the will of God. See, here's something you need to understand. Faith is not blind. We get that because Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But that does not mean that faith is blind. Faith is based on information. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not blind. It's based on information. So your faith begins when you know the will of God. And in order for you to know the will of God, you're going to have some information. Now, I'll tell you about my own life. I grew up in church. I got saved when I was 12 years old at a Billy Graham crusade. Grew up in the church. You name the denomination, I was there. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. All right? Baptist, Lutheran. You know, hey, I was there. Raised in church. And I remember when I graduated from college, I moved to Erie because I had a job in Meadville. And I had a great aunt, Helen Smith, who told me, you know, well, you got a job in Meadville, come live with me. And I did. I thought I had it made. Because my great aunt was one of the cooks at the Holiday Inn downtown. Y'all remember the Holiday Inn used to be on 18th Street? And she was known for her cooking. I mean, she's had recipes published. I mean, this woman can cook. And so here I am, 21 years old, and I figured, man, I got it made. And so I moved into Aunt Helen's house, and the first day I moved in, she straightened me out. She called me Davy. She said, Davy, come here, I want to talk to you. I said, yes, ma'am. She sat down in the kitchen with me on East 22nd Street. She said, listen, I get up at 5:30 in the morning, catch that bus, go down there and slave over those hot stoves all day. Last thing I'm going to do is come home and cook for you. So if you're hungry, she said, there's an LB's Big Boy across the street, and there's a Super Duper around the corner up on the hill. I thought, wow. But she had mercy on me. She'd bring things home for me to eat, you know, and she always cooked on Sunday. That was the meal of the week. But during that time period when I lived here, I got exposed to the Word. Remember, I grew up in church. And then I got transferred to Newcastle. And I was coming to Erie twice a week because I wanted to see Peggy. Okay? But I remember that time period. It wasn't quite years. It was over a year when I was living in Newcastle. My mother gave me a Bible when I left home, and I started reading it. And I started listening to people teach the Word on the radio. And it revolutionized my life, changed my life completely. I found myself many a night sitting there with my Bible saying, I didn't know this was in here. I didn't know this belonged to me. I didn't know Jesus did this for me. How come nobody told me this? And I realized I did not have to live a defeated, sinful, raggedy life anymore. It changed my life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So faith is not blind. Faith is based on information. And this man was in a position where he's got a desperate situation. He's diseased with leprosy. He knows God can heal him, but he doesn't know if it's His will. Well, he went to the right person. Jesus took the if out of his equation. He said, I know you can if you will. Jesus said, I will. Be clean. Now, here's the wonderful thing. If it was the will of God for that leper to be clean and healed, it's the will of God for you to be clean and healed. Because God's no respecter of persons, and He never changes. So once you know the will of God, now you have a basis for faith. So don't think that you believe in God, trust in God, and you have no information. Doesn't work that way. Are you with me? Doesn't work that way. Now, faith begins where God's will is known. Now, notice verse 41 in Mark chapter 1. Jesus was moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. You be clean. He expressed the will of God, you be clean. But he was moved with compassion. That word compassion is the same word translated mercy that you find in Mark chapter 10 when blind Bartimaeus cried out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Same word, compassion. God is still moved with compassion today. He's still moved with compassion today. And it's faith that makes the connection. Are you with me? Now, because of his healing and this testimony that he had, people came from everywhere. Jesus had a hard time now ministering in public places because the crowds were so large. And so he tried to do a lot of ministry in rural areas, and people still came from every quarter, came from everywhere. And people will still do the same thing today when Jesus shows up. Amen? If you don't believe that, hide and watch. Okay, turn with me now to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. So we've seen something new. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have faith for something when you don't know what God has said about it. You can't have faith for something when you don't know what God has said about it. I remember many, many years ago, I ran into a friend who was going through a struggle. And, they were going to a good church. But unfortunately, they weren't learning anything. They weren't spending time in the Word of God. And they thought just because they were a Christian and they were saved that everything was going to be okay. Wrong. If anything, because you identify with Jesus Christ, many times you become the focus of an enemy attack. Oh, yeah. Oh, the devil will get on your stuff. Get all up in your stuff. And if you're not prepared for it, it'll shake you up. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, "Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat." He said, "But I prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail." In other words, what you know is going to sustain you. But when you don't know anything, you're in trouble. Okay? So anyway, I had this friend. They're going through a difficult time. And I always try to encourage people and lift people up. And so I said to them one time, "Hey, how you doing, man?" And they said, "Well, I'm looking to the hills from whence cometh my help." You want the English translation? "I'm waiting for God to do something." And so I was just prompted to be a little, well, how can I say it? Aggressive and shake them up a little bit. So this person said, "Well, I'm just looking to the hills from whence cometh my help." And I said, "You can quit doing that." And I got the same reaction out of them that I got out of some of you. Huh? I said, "God ain't hiding out in the hills no more." In other words, you better go to the Word, find out what He said. And begin to say what He said. Put your faith in His Word and He will work on your behalf. Don't expect for God to do everything for you and you're just going to ignore His Word and be lazy and you think everything's going to be all right. I got a rude awakening for you. It's not going to be all right. Faith is based on information. Faith is based on information. All right, Luke chapter 17. We're going to start with verse 11. And here's another account of some real people who use faith to receive from God. Interesting account. Notice verse 11, Luke chapter 17. "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off and lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Now, to many of us, this expression is a little blind, but here's what the law of Moses says about the condition of a leper. When a leper is healed, he is to go before the priest and submit himself for a physical examination. And if the priest determines that he is actually healed and his lesions are no longer active, then he is permitted to re-enter society and live a normal life. But until that time, he was an outcast. He had to identify himself as a leper. If he's walking through town and somebody gets too close, he has to cry out, unclean, unclean. In other words, I've got some stuff you don't want to catch. All right? What a horrible way to live. And so many of these lepers would live together, and they still do that to this day. Now, these 10 men that were lepers in Samaria happened to see Jesus. And they begin to cry out, Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus says to them, go get your physical. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. So obviously, when he said, go get your physical, they still had leprosy. And most of us think we're so analytical, we want to see something before we believe God. We want to feel something before we believe God. We want goosebumps before we believe God. And if it had been some of us, we'd have stood there and said, well, Jesus, heal me first, then I'll go get my physical. Come on over here, put your hands on me. Get this stuff off of me. Jesus said, go get your physical. And so the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. The healing took place as they acted on the word. As they went, they were cleansed. Here's another principle you need to know. Faith is acting on God's word. Faith is not just hearing it. Faith is not just knowing it. Faith is doing it. See, it's not what you know that's going to cause you to succeed in life. It's what you do. Or what you don't do. If you believe God's word, you'll do God's word. Amen? So as these guys headed to the priest, all of a sudden, healing came. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned around and ran back and fell down at Jesus' feet and began to give him thanks. Now, you can read this account from many different translations, but the Young's Analytical Translation says it like this. When this guy fell down before Jesus, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, what happened to the nine? You know, yeah, here's one. What happened to the other guys? Where are they? And then he said, there are none found that came to return to give glory to God except this alien, stranger. The Greek word is allogenes. This man wasn't even a Jew. In other words, he did not have a covenant of healing. Healing didn't belong to him. But faith is a law. When you put the law of faith into practice, it works. It don't care who your mama was, what color your skin is, or what your ethnic background is. This guy wasn't even in the covenant and got healed because he acted on what Jesus said. So Jesus said, there is none that came to give thanks to God except this foreigner. And then Jesus says to this man, go your way, your faith, listen to this now, has made you whole. He didn't say your faith has cleansed you. They all got cleansed. But see, when you're made whole, that means those fingers that fell off grew back. That nose that's all distorted sort of gets back to normal. You know what I mean? The ear that fell off just grows back out. His faith made him whole. Well, here's something else we can learn. Boy, when you give God glory, you're acting in faith. When you give God glory, you're acting in faith. So this man was healed when he acted on what Jesus said, but more importantly, he was made whole when he gave God thanks and gave God glory. Your faith has made you whole. Now here's the other principle we can learn. Faith is released by action. It's not just what you say, it's what you do. Are you with me? If you believe it, you'll do it. If you believe it, you'll do it. Amen? All right, turn with me now to James, the Epistle of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2. And you'll find that, about 15, 20 pages before the book of Revelation, just right after the book of Hebrews, the Epistle of James. James chapter 2. We're going to look at two verses in this passage. James chapter 2. Notice verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." Now, let me tell you something about the Epistle of James. When the Epistle of James was found and studied, there were a lot of scholars who did not want to include it in the 66 books that make up the canon of Scripture, because they stumbled over verses like this. Faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. And they think it contradicts what Paul said in Ephesians 2:8, "For you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And they think it's a contradiction, but it's not at all. What James is simply telling us is that faith must have corresponding action. See, we don't work to gain favor with God. We don't work to be saved. We don't work to be healed. All of that was paid for in the redemptive work of Christ. It's a free gift. But the way you access that free gift, because it's by grace, is through your faith. That way it's guaranteed to everybody. So your faith accesses the grace of God. But your faith must have corresponding action. It's one thing to talk a good game. It's quite another thing to live a good game. Are you with me? And there are a lot of people who learn how to parrot and talk a good game, but their lives don't correspond with what they say they believe. Are you with me? Their lives don't correspond with what they believe. I could go down that road and spend a month, but I won't. Amen. And here's something for you guys. I often say this, and this is just for men. Okay, all you ladies, don't listen. Hey guys, you want a tip that'll really, really help you in your marriage? Don't tell your wives what you're going to do, how you're going to change, how you're going to behave. They've all heard it before from you. Just do it. Just do it. Don't tell them, show them. Okay, you ladies can listen again now. Don't tell them, show them. Are you with me? You know? There's one of the shoe companies just has a theme on their logo. Just do it. Just do it. You know? Now, faith is released with words, but faith is also released with action. You can't just talk it, you got to do it. Amen? And I've been there many, many, many times. I remember years ago when a fellow asked me to help him start a church in St. Louis. I prayed about it and the Lord said, "Yeah, that's good, help him." And so I gave him my word. I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm behind you, brother. I'll help you start that church." Well, that's one thing to say it. Quite another thing to quit your job, move your stuff, pack it up, and drive there. Are you with me? So my faith had corresponding action. We started that church September 13th, 1983. Still going strong today. And out of that, there are four men who are in pastoral ministry today. I believe four of us that started that church. We started with five families. And within 18 months, we had 300 people coming to church. And we had to do two services on Sunday morning. We couldn't get everybody in there. But there are several churches that have, they're not affiliated with that place, but you know what I mean, of guys who are in ministry today. But faith is great when you say it, but it works when you do it. Are you with me? So we looked at James 1:17. "So then faith, if it doesn't have works or corresponding action, being alone, is dead." Notice verse 26. James chapter 2, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works or corresponding action is dead also." You're going to have to act on what you believe. When Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest," get the humping to the priest. Amen? Start going, move in that direction. Even though you may not see anything that's any different. Even though you may not feel any different. Even though you may not look any different, you act on what God's Word has said. Right. And it'll always work. Amen? Amen? All right, turn with me now back to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at one last passage before we finish today. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Now, here's an account that took place when Jesus was near the lake Gennesaret, and he was going to teach, and people were pressing upon him to hear the word. So he decided to borrow a boat and cast off a little ways from the land so he could teach from the boat, and all the people could sit along the shoreline and listen to him teach. And so he finished teaching, and notice verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught," or for a catch. Now, when Jesus first encountered these guys, they had been fishing all night. They were washing their nets or putting their gear away. So he asked to borrow their boat. They said, that's fine. He cast off from the land, has his teaching session. Then afterwards, he brings the boat back and says, "Launch out into the deep water there and drop your nets for a catch." Notice what Peter said. Peter said, "Master, we have worked all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Here's what I want you to see. Peter, being the expert that he was, tells Jesus, "Jesus, we've been there, done that, didn't work." Now, he could have stopped there and missed a blessing. And many times we find ourselves in the exact same position. We're encouraged by God's word or prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something. And we respond with, "I did that. It didn't work." How often do you find yourself in life defending something that ain't working? "I did that. It didn't work." Yeah, you're right. You did it, and it didn't work. But when God tells you to do something, if you'll respond in faith, it'll work. Don't find yourself like Peter, defending something that ain't working. If it ain't working, we got to try something different. Would you agree with that? You know, there's a Christian author, went to be with the Lord recently, within the last 2 weeks, Zig Ziglar. He had a definition of insanity. And it went like this. Here's the definition of insanity: desiring a different result, but you keep doing the same thing. If you want a different result, you're going to have to change what you're doing. You have to do something different. So here's what Peter said. "Jesus, we've been out there, man. Did that. Didn't work. We didn't catch a thing. Nevertheless, because you said it, we'll go out there and drop the net." Notice what Jesus said. "Let down your nets," plural, "for a catch." Peter goes out there, drops one net. "Well, I'll do this just to keep him happy." And his net began to fill up to the degree that it began to break. So now he calls his partners with the other boats. They go out and drop their nets. Their nets fill up. Their boats start to sink. And when they had thus done, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fish and their nets broke. And they beckoned to their partners and were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And when they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man." In other words, "I should have done what you said to do." And that's the way God always wants us to respond. When he tells us to do something, do it. Don't defend something that ain't working. Just do what he told you to do. He knows that what you've been doing ain't working. That's why he's telling you to do this. Are you with me? So faith is not only released with words. Faith is released with action. Now, our response to God's word and our response to the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit that comes from the inside of us should be the same as Peter's that you find in verse 5, Luke 5:5. "Lord, at your word, I will." Lord, at your word, I will. So when you're studying something in the Scripture and it tells you to do a certain thing, then be determined you're going to do it. When you're studying the Scripture and it tells you not to do a certain thing, be determined you're not going to do it. "Lord, at your word, I will." And he will always meet you there. Always meet you there. Now, here's the great thing about these two instances. One leper individually and 10 lepers in a group. These were people just like you. And here's one thing that you can really, really anchor your faith in. Two things that you need to remember. Number one, God never changes. He said in the Old Covenant, I am the Lord, I don't change. You know, the King James says it, I change not. That means I don't change. James, the same guy who wrote what we just read, said every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That means God doesn't change. Neither shadow of turning. He's not going to turn on you. He's always consistent. He's always the same. And number two, He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't love anybody more than He loves you. So if He is constant, consistent, never changes, and He doesn't play favorites, then your faith will work just like theirs did. Are you with me? God will honor your faith just like He honored their faith. So we learned some valuable things today. Number one, faith begins when you know the will of God. Remember I talked about Jesus? For those of you who were there on Wednesday nights, I talked about how Jesus overcame the devil by the Word of God. Remember that in the Gospel of Luke when He was tempted? Satan tempted Him and He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Well, if He was the Son of God and had to speak the Word in order to overcome, what makes you think you'll win any other way? You won't. Amen. But you can't quote what's written if you don't know what's written. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You've got to know the will of God. Faith begins when you know the will of God, number one. Number two, faith is released by what you do, not just what you say. You need to say the right thing, but you need to do the right thing accordingly. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Well, thank God.